Welcome to church. We're so glad you're here at Brave. I'm excited to preach part two of our series called Expansion. And how many of you guys were here last week? And just an amazing Sunday for us last week. Half of you are clapping, but everybody else raised their hand. So you didn't enjoy the service. You didn't enjoy baptisms and testimonies of life change. I said, how many of you enjoyed last week what God did? That's better. We love to celebrate what God is doing at Brave Church. We're not afraid to participate. And so today I'm excited to be in part two of this series, and I've decided to go without glasses today, so I'm going to make an attempt and do my best. I thought it might help me preach a little bit better without my glasses on today. So I'm going for it. Anytime you want to expand something, we said you had to ask yourself a question. Do you remember the question? We said, is it worth it? Yeah, is it worth it? We said, if you want to expand something in your life, you want to expand a company, you're going to have to ask yourself before you expand the company, is it worth it? Is it worth the amount of hours you're going to have to put in? If you're wanting to expand the products that you distribute, you have to ask yourself the question, is it worth it? If you're wanting to expand your family, you want to have children, you're going to have to ask yourself, is it worth it? Is it worth it? If you have one child and you're thinking about going to two, is it worth it? If you have two and you're going to three, is it worth it? And I can tell you no, because we have three and it's not worth it. So don't do it. I'm just joking. It's worth it. And but if you want to expand something, you have to ask yourself, is it worth it? Do you remember this? We talked about this. We said, for some people, if you want to expand your knowledge, how many of you are in school currently? You're in school. You're taking classes of some sort. At some point, you have to ask yourself, if you want to expand your knowledge, you have to find out whether or not the expansion of knowledge is worth it, right? Is it going to have a payoff? Are you going to be able to get a certain job at a certain level? Is it worth it? So anytime you have an expansion of any category, you have to ask yourself, is it worth it? You think about faith. Some of you have been there. You've done that. You stepped out in faith. You started attending a service. You started reading your Bible. You started doing something maybe you hadn't done before. And you have to ask yourself, is expanding my faith in God, is it worth it? It's a question that you could take anytime you try to expand something. Is it worth it? And so we asked this question last week. And we said, and we kind of concluded throughout what we read and what we studied, that it is worth it. And whenever you see people's lives being changed and eternal kind of destinies being changed, we said that, then it's worth it. There's no question that it's worth it. And you remember, we told the story about David, King David. Do you remember him? Yes. And you remember David, and David feels like he wants to plant this church. He's got this desire. Remember, he has this devotion that he wants to build the temple for God. He's sitting in his own palace made out of this cedar log, and he looks out and he says, man, where's the house of the Lord? And I've got to build my God a house, a temple. And so he has this deep devotion inside of him. And then we found out last week that he's going to decide that he's going to pass that along to his son. Remember this? He's talking to his son, and he's talking to the son on the left. Remember, I was talking to the son because the son's on the left. And then I switched it over to the right. Do you remember this? And they said, no, the son's on the right. So the father's having this relationship with the son. He's saying, son, listen, God has chosen you to build this church. You remember this verse? We'll put it up in case to recap. You were here last week. He says, I want you to consider now. There was a statement that the father, David, said to his son Solomon. He said, Solomon, if that's what he called him, or Saul, or S-O-L, or Mon, you know, whatever. He said, Solomon, listen, son, listen to me. I want you to seriously consider what I'm about to tell you. And then he maybe pauses for a moment. His son listens in. He says, the Lord has chosen you. Tap your neighbor on the shoulder and say, you. You. That's not everybody. Say, you. And we love to participate. You. He says, I want you to know that you've been chosen to build a church. And I want you to seriously consider this. And as he begins to unfold this to his son, he's trying to let him know that as his son hears this message from his dad saying that his father is telling him, you're going to build God a church, he has to consider whether or not it's worth it. And so we find out that David would say, no doubt about it, it's worth it, son. It's worth it. It's worth it. Everything you do is worth it. And so we just took that invitation that David made to his son, and we said, we're going to extend that to you and to me, that we would be invited together to build a church, and specifically for this season at this time in our life, this church called Brave, and that we would be called to do that. Many of you accepted the invitation. You raised your hand and you said, I'll accept the invitation to continue to pour into what God is doing here, and God has no doubt called me here. Many of you came up to me last week and said, what an honor it is to be a part of this church and how God has called you here, and you're excited to see what God continues to do through us and in us. And that deserves a praise and a hand clap, because I say that I'm acknowledging you, because you're the one that have said yes, and you're saying yes to God, that you've accepted the invitation and the tapping on the shoulder that God is saying, I've chosen you, and it's worth it. And so we simply said, as we go into this expansion series, we just wanted you to kind of have this invitation as you consider the fact that God has called you and helped, kind of chosen you to help build this church, that it's worth it. And the reason why that's so important is because anytime you do anything significantly for God, there's going to be difficulties, there's going to be trials, there's going to be seasons where you feel like giving up. And so we just wanted you to know that it's worth it, that it's worth it. And so we'll pick up where we left off. We didn't unveil the plans to you, because David didn't unveil his plans until after he got his son to say, it's worth it. And I want you to consider what I'm saying. His son says, okay, it's worth it. I understand that, Dad, it's worth it. And then David begins to unveil some of his plans that he's had in the making for the past several years of his life, and no doubt this has been on his mind. And here's what it says in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 28, verse 11. It says, then David, now David is talking to his son, and he said he gave his son Solomon the plans for the portico of the temple. That's just the building, the structure. It's buildings, notice plural. This isn't just one building. We're going to create multiple buildings. It's storerooms, it's upper parts, it's inner rooms, and the place of atonement. So David is saying, I have worked out details. And if you were to continue to read this chapter, you'd find out that David unveils even more extensively the plans. And so there's no question that David has put a lot of thinking and thought process to what this church, if you would, or this temple is going to look like, the size of it, the dimensions of it, what kind of decor it's going to have. He's done a lot of pre-planning, because it's been a devotion, something he finds so passionately in his life. And so David begins to disclose the plans to his son. And then after disclosing the plans to his son, he turns back to the audience. Remember, because he gathers everybody together. Do you remember this? The captains, the leaders of the tribes, of the families. Here's what it says in the next verse. It goes on to say in verse 29, verse 1. It says, then King David, after telling his sons the plans, he turns to the entire assembly. He's talking to you, and he's talking to me now. He turns to the audience, and he says, my son Solomon, who God has clearly chosen as the next king of Israel, and I love this, gives me hope, is still young and inexperienced. Thank you for your grace. Pastor George and I, we thank you deeply for all of your patience. What David says, think about it, is, I know that I have been a great king to you, and he had, and his people loved him and adored him. He had joined Judah and Israel, that was a separated nation, and brought them back together. He had conquered about 60,000 square miles of territory. He had reestablished the identity of the people, did a tremendous job as a leader. And what David is saying here is, I just want you to know that my son is young. He's inexperienced. Give him grace. He's going to need a lot of patience. He's not stepping in. He's stepping into my role, but there's no way he could just immediately jump into leadership and lead like I lead. It's going to take some time. So I thank you for your patience. Anyways, he says, it's freeing to me, because he just says, man, he's young and inexperienced, and I just want you to know this. So there's no false expectations. My son's going to have to figure this out just like I did, and it's going to take him some time. And then he goes on to say, he says, he's young and inexperienced, and the work ahead of him is enormous. In other words, David knows what it feels like to sit in the leadership position as he's established this kingdom. How many of you guys sit in a current leadership position in your home, in your house, in your organization? Raise your hand high. All right. I don't know if you know this, but all of you are leaders by some category. I've once heard this. I think it is true. If you have influence in your life among anybody, you're a leader. If you have influence with anybody, you could be deemed and determined and defined as a leader, because you're influencing somebody. And so David, being a leader in his life, he knows what it's going to take to do this task. In fact, he's been planning on it. He has the blueprints. He has the layout of this building. He knows this is no small temple. This is going to take a lot of work. And he says, I just want you to know, and he's talking to the audience, that the task that's here for him is a really big job. And then he goes on to say, for the temple he will build, and I love this, is not for mere mortals. I don't know why I love the idea they put mortals. It just sounds like it should be read differently, doesn't it? from immortals. You know, I don't know why. Every time I read it, I get this like weird sound effect in my voice. But he says, from mortals. When I read that statement, as I was rehearsing and preparing for the talk, I thought about Disney World. Any Disney fans? Some of you guys know that we love Disney. Bring it on, you should be. For those that you are not, you're missing out. And I just thought about this. It's amazing. Have you ever been to Disney World before? And you ever pay attention to the detail? The detail, and man, this is amazing, the detail that, you ever been to a football stadium? You know, these massive stadiums and the detail that goes into it, and you walk in. You ever been to a structure or a building? Anybody at all? Just raise your hand. You've been to a building that is just like, man, this is amazing. You ever done that before? You walked into some location, an establishment, and you're like, wow, this is incredible, you know? Look at the detail. Look how much detail they put into this. And I was thinking about how much money goes into some of these establishments, some of these buildings that all of us have witnessed. In fact, people will travel thousands of miles to see certain structures, won't they? They'll travel all over the world to see certain coliseums, the Taj Mahal or Disney World, Magic Kingdom, you know. They do. It's amazing. And it's just amazing what people will do to travel to see some of these buildings. But one thing that I thought about as I read this text is, think about all the detail, all the billions of dollars in work that goes into building these things. At the end of the day, it's for people. In fact, I was walking by this sign on Disney, and it said that Walt Disney had built this establishment in hopes that a whole family would enjoy these places. And I thought, that's great. We appreciate that, Walt, but you're building it for people. And look what he says. This isn't for people. I want to remind you who you're building this for. Whenever you go into the work and you start thinking about the plans of this building, you're not doing this for people. You're doing it for the Lord. Now, I just got a question to you. If you're trying to build an establishment for people and you're putting in all that much detail, how much more detail do you think you should pay attention to when you're building it for your king? So, some of you aren't clapping. It's okay. We're going to get you. I believe it. What I love about that is when you look at church and you look at buildings going up of churches, what I love about this idea is every time we put attention to detail in this room, because we're not building this for you, we're building it for the Lord. And that's why one of our core values is we execute with excellence, because we come together as a church saying, we're building this for Jesus. And the last time I checked, he gave us everything that he could possibly give us. And so we're going to return it right back to him. We're going to give him everything that we possibly have. And it is for the Lord. Tap your neighbor and say, it's for the Lord. It's for the Lord. I love this because David, as he's talking to his son Solomon and the people, he's really trying to let them know of the why. He's trying to give them the why. He says, before I unveil even deeper these plans and what's going to happen and what I'm going to invite you to participate in with me, I want to give you the why. The why is so important when it comes to participating and accepting an invitation. And David says, the reason we're doing this is to build a place for the Lord, a place where people can gather and worship him, a place where people can gather and come to know who he is. And I just want you to keep your attention on, this is David, I want you to keep your focus that ultimately the reason we're doing this is for the Lord. This is not for people, it's for God. And he tells them the why behind the offering that he's going to ask them and invite them to be a part of. And then David does something that I think is a remarkable, we're going to read these verses almost straight through. Look what David does as a leader. Here's what he does. He says, using every resource at my command. Now, David is king, and he's got all of, you know, access to all the things in his kingdom and his nation. Using every resource at my command, I have gathered as much as I could. I didn't just bring a little bit. I gathered as much as I possibly could for building the temple of my God. And then he goes to list what he brings. He says, now there is enough gold, silver, bronze, iron, and wood, as well as great quantities of onyx and other precious stones, costly jewels, and all kinds of fine stone and marble. He continues on. And now, because of my devotion to the temple of my God, I'm giving my all. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm giving my all. Now just tell them, say, give me your all. No, seriously, give me your all. Just say, give me your wallet. Give me your all. All right. He says, I'm giving my all. of my own private treasures of gold and silver to help in the construction. This is in addition to the building materials that I've already collected for his holy temple. David says, this has been such a deep passion inside of me. I've been preparing for this for years. I've been collecting, I've been accepting, I've been working on this. And in addition to all the things that I've already collected and established, I'm also going to give my all on top of that. I'm going above and beyond what I already possess. What I've already given, what I've already set aside, what I've already put to the side, I'm going to go ahead and give everything I possibly can give because I'm giving my all. And then he breaks, this is really interesting. David breaks what I would say is like a leadership principle that some of us have created in our culture. He does something that seems at first, it's a little odd when you think about it. In fact, some of you, and myself included, maybe, are we really willing to do what David does here? Watch what David does next. He says, I just want you to know what I'm donating. He says, I'm donating more than 112 tons of gold. Jesus, if you could just send that down, that'd be amazing. He says, I'm going beyond that, 262 tons of refined silver to be used of the overlaying of the walls of the buildings and for all the other gold and silver work to be done by the craftsmen. When I read this, I thought about leaving this out because I thought, why is that significant to you? Honestly, you'd just be like, okay, so he gave him some gold and some silver. The reason this is significant, and I've mentioned this before, is for two reasons. Number one, just in the amount. It's likely and kind of understood that David gave around $14 billion to build this church. So anybody that looks at a church and says, I can't believe you're taking money and building a church, well, check out the text. Because last time I checked, King David gave $14 billion check to build a church. Amen. Okay, here we go. And he says, man, I'm putting my best efforts into building this because it's for who? It's for the Lord. This is why we're building this church. This is why we're doing it. It's for the Lord. And so the Lord deserves our best, so I'm putting my best at the table. But I love the idea that David actually discloses his amount. Now think about that. David disclosed the amount and the exact penny of what he was giving. Why would David do that? I suggest to you it was not so that he could boast about himself. But it's actually revealed in a few moments why David did it. And before we read that, I'm going to suggest to you now that the reason he did it is because he wanted his people to know that I will never ask you to do anything I'm not willing to do myself. Because any great leader knows that's what leaders do. Leaders lead. And David was saying, I just want you to know before I invite you to participate exactly what I'm giving. Not to boast and not to show you what I'm doing, not at all. But I just want you to know that I'm willing to walk through the wall with you. And I'm willing to go first. And I'm willing to show you what it is that I'm done. My books are open. You can check my receipts. You can see where my money goes. You know what I love about that? David was not ashamed to show you where his heart was. David knew, if you want to check my books, you will see my heart. You can see what I do and you can see where my money goes. I am not afraid to disclose to you what I'm giving. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not trying to hide it. Because he knew that whenever he were to show it to somebody, somebody would look at him as a leader and a king and say, we have nothing to say against how you lead us. We have nothing to say how you lead us. Yeah, David, it's right. You check out. You give everything you possibly can. It's just an amazing kind of idea of leadership. Normally, people, when they talk about money and how much they're willing to give, they say, we want to keep it what? We want to keep it private. David says, I don't need to keep it private because I'm not ashamed of what I give. Here it is. Every week, I give my best. This is what I'm doing. I'm bringing the best to the table, and I have nothing to hide from you. I love that in leadership. You know what it does to the people? It inspires an element of trust. And we'll see this in just a moment. So David kind of lets them know what it is he's giving, what is it he's doing, and then he asks this really big question. He says, now that you know that I'm willing to lead you, and I'm willing to lead you well, and I'm doing this myself, he turns to the audience and he says, who will follow? Who will follow me? Who will follow my example, the way in which I'm giving, not in the amount of the dollar, but who will follow giving their all? He says, and give offerings to the Lord. Who's going to follow? Who here will follow? And he's just looking out in the audience, just like we're looking out today. He's like, who's going to follow the way that I've given. This phrasing of giving and offerings is translated differently in multiple translations depending on how you read it. But it's actually this Hebrew word of nadav. And nadav is really this metaphor for what would have been like a soldier enlisting voluntarily into war to battle. So whenever they get this idea of giving an offering, it's this idea of freely, willingly, sacrificially, wholeheartedly signing up to give. So when David looks out and he says, who's willing to bring an offering? What David is really asking, and they would understand in their context, is who's willing to put their life on the line like I am? Who's willing to give everything they possibly can towards this building of the temple? It's this amazing question that he asks. And no doubt about it, the audience is thinking, I don't know if I'm going to. I'm thinking about it, David. And he puts it into their kind of role or gives them the opportunity to respond and how they're going to do it. I've noticed in church over the past decade of serving in churches and on staff for over a decade that there's typically five types of giving to God. And I want to talk about this for just a moment. Five types that I have seen people give to God. And these are not just ones that I'm saying one is better than the other. These are just five motivators that I have found often when it comes to people giving to God. And here's the first one. The first one is selfish giving. The people that just give selfishly. That the reason, the purpose behind the gift to God, or to any almost organization for that matter, but it's a selfish motive. It's so that they get a tax break. And I love getting a tax break for giving. In case you didn't know, you can get a tax break, and we do them at the end of the year. If you give towards a church, it is a tax write-off. But the motive behind which sometimes people give is selfish. Anybody ever know of a selfish giver? You ever met a selfish giver in your life? One person. Everybody else knows generous giver. This is amazing. Send all the people you know that give. My direction. But there's these selfish givers. How many of you guys have ever given to somebody selfishly? You were given to get something in return. Come on, fellas. The last time you gave her a gift, raise your hand. Come on. Please, we're in church. Raise your hand with me. Help me out. My wife is in the room. The last time you gave her a gift was a little selfish. Yeah. And selfish giving. We've given selfishly before. You've given so that you get. You gave somebody a thank you card in hopes that you get a thank you back. You've given to some organization so that you get something in return. Selfish giving. Oftentimes, people can give to the Lord because it's a selfish thing. I've heard that Jesus said he's going to give you more money. So I'll give so I get more money. You know how you know you got a selfish giving attitude? You stop giving because you stop getting. Well, I didn't get the raise that I was looking for. So I'm cutting you off, Jesus. You know, I've seen people do this in church. They give because they want to get something in return. Here's the second reason why I've seen people give. They give because of guilt giving. Now, we're in church. Let's be honest. Some of you already know. Raise your hand if you ever guilt given in your life. You ever had that bucket pass by you? Get the dollar out, baby. They can't see us. You ever had that happen? I remember when I was a kid, I used to guilt give all the time because the buckets would pass by me, and we were in a Catholic church too, so it was extra quiet, you know, and everybody was paying attention, and I didn't want to be the kid that didn't get put the dollar, so I asked my aunt, I'd say, you know, Tia, you know, would you put, and, you know, give me a dollar, you know, and we all would have our dollar, because we just didn't want to be that person. When I was like 8 years old, you know, I didn't even know what I was doing, but just didn't want to be the person, so I just guilt-given. I feel bad. I don't know, I feel like I should do something. You ever guilt-given before? You ever given to some organization, a person, you drive by them, and you just feel guilty? You know, and you ever done this before like me? You say, nah, I ain't going to give to that person. And then somebody comes up behind you and gives them, and then you feel more guilty. You're like, oh, I'm a terrible person. And guilt given. It's true, man. People in church give by guilt oftentimes, don't they? They feel so guilty that they feel like they should do something. Here's another reason why. Grateful giving. You ever met a grateful giver? You're grateful, and it's genuine. I'm really thankful for this place. I really appreciate it. You ever see somebody tip somebody, and this is the worst part. If you've ever go out to lunch, don't do this. I'm so grateful. You had great service, and then give them 10%. You ever done that before? You ever seen somebody do this? You know, you did a fantastic job, and then they give you like a penny, and you know, what? That isn't grateful. I appreciate it. The pat on the back. Grateful giving. I've seen people give gratefully. They They're grateful for what the organization is doing. They're grateful for what maybe God is doing, and so they're giving because they're grateful. Here's another reason why people give typically in church, they give to God, obedience giving. And a lot of people would fall here maybe too. You know, this is the tithing people. This is people that say, I'm setting aside a certain percentage, and we believe at church, of course, we believe at Brave, that 10% is the standard, but people give a percentage, 10% of their income, and they do it faithfully over and over, and they set it aside. In fact, they budget their whole entire, you know, kind of year around this idea that obedience giving, that they want to become people who are just obedient to God. God said to do it, so I'm going to do it. No questions asked. And that's not a bad thing. I'm just stating to you, this is what is. Some people just give because it's what God said to do. And I found that to be true in my life. And then there's a fifth kind of reason why I think people give. And this is an amazing group of people. And I think some of you know these people, generous givers. They're generous in their giving. They're not giving because of a selfish motive, because they feel bad, because they're just thankful, not just because God said so. And the people who tend not to give for those reasons fall in this category of generous giving. I was researching the word generous and what it means to really be generous and generosity. And here's just the English dictionary. You could read it. Just the definition is simply showing a readiness to give. I love that, readiness. There are people who walk into this is how you know you're generous. This is how you know. You walk into service and you can't wait to give. In fact, you've already got the envelope ready. It's the first thing you do. You're excited about the opportunity to give. They show a readiness to give more something than is strictly necessary. They're not just looking at a percentage. Well, is it 8 or is it 10 or is it 2%? I don't know. We'll wait till we figure it out, then we'll start giving. These are those people who just give generously and they can't wait to take the money out of their wallet and give it to God. And some of you are like, are there really people like that in the world? Yes. An amazing group of people who fall in this category of generous givers. They just can't wait because they have bought into this truth and this idea that it is actually better to give than it is receive. And they love it. Now, I'm not saying this is where you are. I'm just saying this is where some people are. These are just reasons why I have seen and how people tend to give. And they give off of one of these kind of levels, if you would. They go selfish giving or they go into, go back to the full chart for me. Selfish giving or guilt or grateful or obedience or generosity in their giving. And they go, man, I'm going to go above and beyond more than what is strictly necessary. And I've just found that to be true in my life, that why people tend to give. And David is asking who will follow his example in giving generously. Because what did David say he's going to do? David said, I'm going to give you my what? My all. That's right. He said, I'm going to give you my all. And so I'm asking who's willing to follow in that example. Who's willing to give their all? Who's willing to give their best? That's what David is ultimately getting at. Who's willing to be generous? Who's willing to go above and beyond? And then David begins to kind of expand that out in the next verse. We'll put it up for you. David goes on to say, then the family leaders, look at how the people respond to him, and the leaders of the tribes of Israel, the generals and the captains of the army. Remember the audience? This is all of his audience. And the king's administrating officers, and I love this, all gave willingly. This is what I've come to preach on today. All gave. All gave willingly. 100% participation. All gave willingly. For the construction of the temple, they gave about 188 tons of gold, 10,000 gold coins, 375 tons of silver, 675 tons of bronze, and 3,750 tons of iron. Does anybody have any coins on them in their purse? Anybody got any coins? You got a nickel or a penny? Throw it up here to me or hand it to me. Anybody got any coins? Any coins? No coins in the house? You got a coin? Such a generous giver. Look at this. Now, if this is... Hey, this is close enough. This is amazing. This is 14 cents. I'm taking it. All right, now we'll put it in. We'll bless it. Multiply it. Jesus' name. Amen. No, I'm just joking. Okay. That'd be awesome. I don't have the faith. So, all right, I'd try it. All right. Deanna just gave me 14 cents. As I was preparing for this talk today and been praying about this for multiple months easily. Been thinking about myself, Pastor George, been meeting on this whole message and this talk today for a long time. Oftentimes as a communicator, you're looking for a hook. You know what I'm talking about? The hook. When you're going to come in and swoop them and you'll be like, oh, I'm going to get them on that one. Once I preach that one, the whole place is going to erupt. They're going to give their lives to Jesus. It's just going to be amazing. And I didn't have a hook. I kept looking over the message. I kept looking over. I'm thinking, I don't have a hook. I don't know what the illustration is going to be. This is just, it's going to be like boring. People are going to be like, oh, man, this is a bad one. You know, let's just get out of here, eat some lunch. And so I didn't have a hook. And so this is true. I go to my daughter last night, Lillian, and she's my bailout. You know, I go to her, Jesus, I just need Jesus. Lillian, help me, pray for me. So I go to her last night, and she's going to bed. And I lay down, you know, on her bed with her, and I said, babe, would you pray for Daddy? And she said, are you going to preach to people tomorrow? And I said, yeah. And I said, I need your prayers. This is true. I said, I need you to pray for Daddy. And she said, okay. And I said, yeah, Daddy's going to be preaching on money tomorrow. And she goes, well, I'll pray for you, Daddy. And I said, thank you. And as I told her that, this is no lie, she says, oh, Daddy. I said, yeah, what's up? She said, I got money right here. And it's ready to go for tomorrow. And I was like, really? Okay. She said, yeah. So she goes over to her nightstand, and she pulls out a nickel and three pennies. And she says, Daddy, I know it ain't a lot, but it's all that I have. It's all that I got. Now, in that moment, God gave me the hook. Did it get you? The reason why you just applauded is the same reason why my heart applauded. It had nothing to do with the amount. It's the fact that a child had said, I'll give you everything I got. It's a statement of belief, isn't it? It's a statement of, I trust you. It's a statement of, I have faith in you, Dad. Dad, I know you're leading this church and doing all that you can. I want to support you, Dad, and everything that you're doing. This is all I got. She actually said to me, she has a whole piggy bank, and she goes, actually, Daddy, I have $1,000 I'd give to you, but Mommy said that I can't take it out of my penny jar, so this is all that I got. That's actually what she said. And I said, well, let's crack open that penny jar, baby. I didn't say that, but it's sitting on her nightstand. She said, yeah, I got $1,000 in my penny jar. I said, you don't have $1,000, but I love the faith. She was willing to give me her penny jar, but she said, Mommy told her she can't. We're going to have a discussion about that later. If she wants to give it to Jesus, we'll let her. And I love that. What a cool story. And the reason why I share that with you today is because for one of the first times in my life as a father, I got a glimpse of what it was like to be in Jesus' position when he looks upon his children and he says to the widow who walks up to the temple and says, I'm just taking out the coins and I'm putting them in. And he turns to the Pharisees. Do you remember this story? And he says, this woman gave way more than any of you because she gave all that she had. It was not about the amount of coins that were given. It was about what was going on inside of the heart when the decision was made to give. And I just think that's a really good understanding of how Jesus feels about us. And I want to let you know today, and why we came here to do this whole series called Expansion. For our church and our size and where we are as a church is simply this. We're excited to see what God is doing, and we're going to continue, we believe, by faith to continue to reach more and more people. Last year, we did an end-of-the-year offering, which is a difference than just a tithe or percentage. This is something that is done throughout Scripture, where it's above and beyond. It's a freely gift. It's not out of obligation. It's not out of obedience. It doesn't mean if you don't, you're in sin. You may go to hell, but you're not in sin. I'm just joking. I didn't say that. I'm joking. And, oh, man. So I knew I'd mess this up, Pastor George. Someone, oh, man. Somebody's walking out. I was totally joking. But it's not out of obedience. This is a free gift. This is just a free gift because of who God is, what he's done, and this is something that we're inspired to do. So last year, we raised, I don't know if you remember this, we put a goal out to raise $12,000. And by God's grace, we hit that. And we were able to do what we set out to do. This year, we have gone back and forth on different numbers and different things. And so we've decided that we're going to set a goal out there. And our goal this year is $18,000 will be our expansion goal. And I want to talk to you about why this is and where this goes and what all happens. Like I said, last year, you guys remember we raised $12,000. Some of you may not have been here, but we did. We did this in our first year as Bridgeway Church at Trinity. We did an end-of-the-year campaign. We did over a period of about 2 months, about 6 weeks, and we set a goal to raise $12,000. And the reason we did that, the reason we put that out there, was to help put on certain things for our kids' ministries. We said half of it would go towards kids. Do you remember this? And then half of it would go towards moving into this facility. We have some photos just to kind of show you where that money went towards. We raised $12,000, and here's where some of that $12,000 went. In fact, way more than the $12,000, but all that $12,000 went to things like this. The helicopter drop, do you guys remember this on Easter? That helicopter drop costs money. Oh, it does. No, it's not a remote control. It doesn't fly itself. It all costs. And all the eggs that and all the candy that flies out of it all cost thousands of dollars to make all of this happen. And so many of you gave, and many people who maybe aren't in the room today, gave generously towards that $12,000 offering last year to make that event happen. Just by a show of hands, who here attends because of this event? Easter Sunday. Easter, you were here. Anybody here your first Sunday? Raise your hand high. Let's see here. One family, you were here because of Easter? Back here? No? The Easter before that. Is that what you're raising your hand for? Nope, got confused. That's okay. We have Robin and Carl came because of the Easter. I just want you to know, which this is how it works, that without people's generosity in 2016, you may not be here today because maybe you didn't see the flyer. Maybe you wouldn't have seen this event happening. Maybe you wouldn't have felt compelled to go. But because of somebody's generosity, all of a sudden you got reaching out to somebody. Here's some other parts where that $12,000 went. Something else went to our back-to-school splash. Do you remember this with Olaf's back-to-school splash? And kids having a great time and having a lot of fun, and kids learning that church can be fun and doing all that they do in there each and every week. And so some of it went towards that event. That event alone cost us, Pastor George, about $2,000, I think. Is that about, I don't know if he's in the room or not, but it cost us about $2,000 just to put on this event. And then also there's other things like Mother's Day, Dad Fest, any Dad Fest, a lot of fun. That event also costs a lot of money. We had another photo of Fall Festival last week, you know, a couple weeks ago. Isn't that a lot of fun, the Fall Festival? We had over 200 people on our campus. Just a lot of fun. That was another $2,000 event. And so all of this that we did with that, and then the other half of the $12,000, the $6,000, went towards us getting into this building. So I don't know if you know this, but it was other people's generosity who paved the way for you to be sitting in the seat that you're sitting in today. And if it wasn't for their generosity, you may not be sitting in the seat that you're sitting in today. Somebody paid for that. And so that's where all of the $12,000 went last year. And so this year we're setting out a new goal to reach $18,000 to help us continue to reach more and more people. Specifically where this $18,000 is going to go, we're going to take it and put it towards our special events primarily. Primarily, we're going to try to push it towards all of our special events. What are special events here? Well, that's Easter, that's Mother's Day, that's Dad Fest, that's Back to School Splash or Back to School Bash or whatever we do for Back to School. That's for our Fall Festival. That's for our Christmas. We're budgeting right now for those events. Just that line item alone will run us at a minimum next year, at the level of growth that we're seeing in our church, a minimum of $25,000 just for those events. And honestly, that's doing those, and Lindsay and Sarah, so many people do an amazing job to make those things happen on a budget. You know, they're like, how are we going to pull this off for that amount? I'm like, well, you just got to do what you got to do. But that's kind of what happens. And so we take that, we spread that out over the course of the year to make all of these kind of promotional materials happen. Beyond that, this also serves as a really good marketing point for us. We get to, in every event that we get to put out there, Pastor George and Jason do a great job at doing some photos and photography and putting out, you know, all of the social media. Was that you that just praised yourself? I don't know if it was. I sounded like it was. I did a good job. Hey, you should. David encouraged himself in the Lord. You can do it too if, in the back. So that's where a lot of this goes, towards these events. It serves as a marketing tool for us as well and helps us continue to reach more people in our community and let other people know about who Brave Church is and where it is that we're going and what it is that we're doing. And so We're going to put part of this 18,000, if not all of it, towards our special events and these types of things. And what I love about this, what Robin just lifted her hand just a moment ago, they came off of Easter. And do you guys remember this happened just last week, I think, when Carl made a decision to get baptized. And ultimately, the result of what we have seen from these special events, it's cool. And this is a real practical talk. But listen, because of somebody's generosity, somebody last year, you didn't even know these people, put their finances into a pot of offering, freely giving, resulted in this, resulted in a life change. And we got you with a helicopter. That's it. And it just took a helicopter. We'll do it again if it takes a helicopter. We'll get five helicopters if it takes five helicopters, because we'll do whatever we got to do to reach people who don't know Jesus and or learning to grow who God is. And that's ultimately where a lot of this will go, towards those types of things. If you're taking notes today, I didn't do notes because I thought there's really just one note I want you to take home with you in your mind or on your phone or on the sheet of paper that's on your seat, and that's this. The result of your generosity is changed lives. That is where it ends up at the end of the day. At the end of the day, every dollar that comes in at Brave Church results in an eternal life being changed. And to that, we say, and I say, it's worth it. It's all worth it. It's absolutely worth it. And it's so cool that we get to put that last line, that just the best days are still way ahead of us. I was talking with Pastor George this week, and I just said, man, we're such a young church, and just look what God has already done. It's just amazing to see the growth that we're seeing, not just numerically, but the lives that have been changed, and how people are finding their way with Christ, and their marriages, I've heard, are being restored. People that were on the brink of divorce, literally, but because of what God is doing in their life through this church, their marriages are still intact. People have had some financial breakthroughs. People have had personal breakthrough, personal things that they've been setting out to do, relationships that have been established and built. And we're only in the first 11 months. I mean, we haven't even scratched the surface of what God is doing. And all the glory goes to Him. There's no question about that. All the glory goes to Him. And it's just amazing to see. And this year, as we set this goal of 18,000, I want to add an additional goal to that. And it's not a numerical goal of financial income. It's 100% participation that we all would give willingly. Here's what I know. If we all gave willingly, gave what we could, gave our best, prayed about it, took the time to think about it, and just gave what God had so deeply put in our hearts to give, whether it be as singles or as married couples, I know something's going to happen. We'll blow our goal out of the water. God will respond, and God will do what He always does, and God will meet the need. God will never call us, Brave, listen to me. God will never call us. This is not just me. It's not a me church. It's a we church. We talk about it all the time. God will never call us to do something ever that He hasn't already supplied the need, that He has not already supplied the resources to make it happen. The only thing that stands in the way, is our obedience to Him and just do what He calls us to do. And if we all give willingly, remember what moved in David's heart? If you read the text, what moved in David's heart, if you continue to read 1 Chronicles 29, it was not that they praised the amount of money that they raised. In fact, what it says is that David was so moved with joy in his heart because all they gave was given willingly. It says that I celebrate with joy because you all have given freely and willingly. That you all have just given freely, generously. Can't wait to give. This is what moves the heart of David. It's what moves the heart of God, that we just give wholeheartedly. God, it's all yours anyways. Jesus, we don't hold on to anything. We're giving you all that we have. Just like Lillian told me the night, I don't have a lot, but this is the best I can give you, and I'll give you everything that I have. And so on your seat, we put these pledge cards. And so if you could grab those out, I'll talk you through this a little bit on the practical side, that you would, our hope and our invitation to you is to simply take that card home as a couple. Maybe you'd put it on your refrigerator, put it, you know, somewhere it stands on your desk, on your nightstand, something like that, and be praying about what it is that God would put in your heart to give towards this specific offering that we call expansion. And there's a couple of dates and some information we want you to know about this. The first one is on December the 3rd, which is in 3 weeks. We'll invite you to bring your pledge card in, and we'll have extras here for you if you forget it that morning. But on December 3rd, we just invite you to be spending some time praying. We didn't want you to just, honestly, Pastor George, we were saying this last night. We were talking about this. We said, we don't want you to give right now. We don't want you to make a pledge right now, because we thought, we're not trying to pull on emotions on you. We want you to really consider this. Consider that God has called you to help build and plant a church in this community. So take some time with your spouse and really think about what it is that you might give to this specific offering. And that's going to be something we'll do on December the 3rd. We'll turn our pledge cards in. And then we'll have two kind of key collection dates. You can always give throughout, obviously, over the next few months. But on December the 24th, we'll kind of have a specific moment where we invite you to bring in, could be half of the pledge that you made, could be the whole thing, could be a percentage of it. But that you would, we would do two collections, one on December 24, Christmas Eve. What a better time to bring in our gifts to the Lord than on his birthday to celebrate him. And then on January 21st, and what's so cool about that day is that'll be our 1 year anniversary as Brave Church. So that'll be an exciting day. And we'll wrap it up believing by faith that God will help us and even more to meet the goal that we have set out. Other ways that you can give, we made available for you to give online and other ways. If you go online, Pastor George has done a phenomenal job creating a whole expansion page, asking you and kind of giving you all the information that you need to know about expansion, where the money's going, praying, and that kind of a thing. So there's a link on our website at wearebrave.church. You can click on the tab expansion. In other words, if you go to our website, there's a tab that says give, where many of you give online. If you click on give, that'll send you to our regular tithes and offerings and our general operating fund. But if you want to go specifically towards expansion, you need to click on the tab that says expansion, and then you give on that specific page, and that'll go towards expansion that way. If you text in your gift, instead of typing the word give, you need to type the word expansion and then the amount, and that amount of money that you give towards that way will go towards the expansion campaign. And let me just talk about the difference between tithe and offering for just a moment. A tithing is something that the scriptures put in place that Jesus firmly established in the New Testament, that he said we should tithe. And those tithes and offerings help continue to make Brave and the church continue to do what God has called it to do. And then there's a point in time that even David did, that David said, well, this is an offering moment. This is something freely given. This is not out of obligation. This is not out of guilt. We don't want you to give out of guilt. We don't want you to give out of selfishness, ambition. But our hope is that you'd give willingly and wholeheartedly, not just even out of gratitude for what God has done in your life, maybe in your kid's life, maybe in a friend's life, maybe in your marriage, maybe in your neighbor, what God is doing, and you want to give out of gratitude. I'm going to encourage you, don't give out of just gratitude. Give out of generosity. It's generosity that Jesus looks down on and says, that's what I reward, a cheerful giver, somebody who gives willingly and not grudgingly, somebody who says, I'm not just trying to get something back from this, I'm giving this because it already all belongs to you anyways, and it's all yours, so I'm okay with it, of being generous. And that's my hope, that's my prayer throughout this entire expansion campaign. We'll run it through the end of January till January 21, and we'll do our best to meet this goal, and I believe by God's faith that he's going to help us meet it. And so I'm excited to be a part and see what God does through you and in you throughout this campaign. And so that's kind of the information that we're going to be letting out today, what we're doing. Some of you are saying, man, I thought it was going to be better plans than that. Let me tell you something. If we do this, we're going to reach more and more and more people. The reason we're doing this, we said earlier, that generosity, ultimately generosity, the result of it is changed lives. That's where it's going to go towards. And it's going to go towards our special events. And anything we raise, if we raise above and beyond it, I'm telling you right now, we have so many plans, you can't contain us. We have so many things we're trying to accomplish and do. Something I told, let you know, this is very practical information. If this is your first time here, hey, this is not something we always do. This is something we're doing just for this one season. We've never done a campaign like this. You can ask anybody around. We've never done a giving campaign ever. So, you know, you just chose the Sunday to come that we're doing it. But here's something that you may not know. And I just want you to know this as a church. Listen to me, church family, Brave family, this is important. Some of you may not know this, but this establishment to rent this place out each and every year is $36,000 a year just to do this. That's just to pay right to the county. That's not anything else that we do. This is $36,000 a year. We're budgeting around $25,000 in special events. And I could keep going down the list of all the other financial things that cost us. Right now, just at our size church, we're operating on almost $150,000. It takes us a year to put this on. And some of you just, you know, you didn't even know that. You don't even, you know, register that, that we pay $3,000 in rent for this establishment to make this happen. And we believe there's no greater thing to do than to put money into God's kingdom, to watch people get resurrected, amen, and their lives be ever transformed. There's nothing better than that. And so we give generously. We don't think there's a greater, higher calling than to participate in what God is doing in the lives of people. What's the value of somebody's eternal soul? How do you put a number on that? You don't. You say it's worth whatever. It's worth it. It's worth waking up. It's worth serving. It's worth putting up pipe and drape. It's worth teaching our kids. It's worth putting sound together. It's worth it because it all results in changed lives. So there's just some practical things that our church is going to continue to not only just need, but we have a vision to continue to reach more and more people for the kingdom of heaven. Church, we're not done. There's so many more people to come, and we're excited about what God does in the future. Amen. So here's what I want you to do. Take that pledge card home with you. Pray about it with your spouse. Pray about it if you're single. Pray about it. Be thinking about it. And maybe for you, you say, man, you know, it's something you're going to look at. And you say, maybe it's a $2,000 gift that we're going to break out. We're going to give us above our tithe. We're going to take $2,000 and we're going to start putting it that way. Maybe for you, $2,000, you're like, I can't wrap my head around $2,000. Maybe for you, it's $1,000 over 4 months. Maybe for some of you, it's just, man, we're so tight on certain things, but it's $100. It's $25 a month over 4 months or these next 3 months. You know, I don't know where it is you sit, where it is you stand. For some of you, you may be able to see this number and you say, man, we're able to do it all. I don't know. We're able to do it all. And maybe God's going to prompt you to do that. Whatever it is that you sit, whatever it is you stand in that, my hope for you is that you just follow what Jesus tells you to give, that you give your whole heart, because I believe absolutely there's nothing else more important in the world than changing the eternal destination of another person. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for this opportunity that we have to come and submit in offerings to you in our hearts. God, today we ask you to guide us and lead us in this way of giving. Show us and teach us what it is to be people of generosity. Jesus, help us to find you. Help us to continue to search for you as a church. Jesus, help us to continue to expand the reach of finding those who don't know you. We know, God, that you're always seeking after people who don't know you. Jesus, you're broken when one of your sons or daughters has not found their home in you. Maybe today you're one of those people. Today, it's not a compelling message about generosity and giving that might move you to Jesus, but just even now saying those words, that Jesus being your father, Jesus saying, I love you, Jesus saying, I've come to die for you and give generously to you. Maybe today you want to make that decision to follow him. Give him your whole life. Give him your best. Say, Jesus, I want to follow you the rest of my life. If that is you, with everybody kind of eyes closed, would you just lift your hand? I want to pray with you. Today I want to give my whole heart, amen, hand in the back of the room. Two hands, another hand. Anybody else? Today I want to give my whole life to you. Amen. Can we pray with those hands that are lifted in the back of the room? Father, just repeat after me if your hands are lifted. Say, Jesus, I accept you into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Thank you for dying for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, this is something we normally never, ever do. We've never done this, what I'm about to ask to do. But I just want you to know where your generosity goes. Two hands were lifted, I know, in the back of the room. And would you guys do me a favor? You don't have to come up here, but just stand to your feet. You just made that decision to receive Christ into your life for the first time. Would you do me a favor? Listen, we've never done this, but I just want you to know, I'm so moved by your decision to follow Jesus on a day that we're talking about money. That, number one, that never happens. This is a miracle. But here's what I want you to know. Your generosity, listen to me, all of you, your generosity, every time you sow seed into Brave Church, that's the result. Don't tell me it's not worth it. I want you both to know you're worth it. Thank you guys so much for sitting down. Listen to me, church. Angels in heaven are rejoicing because of what just happened. It's worth it. So I invite you to pray together as a couple. Just think about what it is that you might do towards this expansion offering. Pledge cards December 3rd, then we'll do a special giving. If you want to give, you know, this week, you can start doing that online as well, or so you can text in your gift as well, of course, throughout the next few months. Next week, Pastor George will be preaching. Excited to hear him preach. You guys ever heard Pastor George? Isn't he so good at preaching? So good, and so I'm excited to hear what he has to say. Hey, we love you guys. If you did make a decision today, make sure you take the Connect card, head over to the Brave tent. We have a gift we want to give you and celebrate your decision with you. We love you guys. God bless you. We'll see you later.